We continue to sift through the Federal Reserve announcement and press conference from yesterday and try to figure out what to make of it in these markets. For some help on that, we're joined now by Ed Al-Husseini, Columbia Threadneedle Investment Senior Interest Rate and Currency Analyst. Ed, it's great to see you. So as we kind of figure out what to make of the Fed here, something that we have been consistently surprised about is the sort of lack of movement in rates. Yes, we've seen more movement on the short end of the curve, but even so, given that we're going to see tightening at this point, what do you think is the cause of that?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, on the front end, we've done a relatively good job of pricing in this pivot from the Fed, really over the course of the past 3 months or so. So the Fed's recognized that inflation surprised to the upside relative to their forecasts and relative to the market forecasts. They've internalized that by accelerating the taper, and they signaled that almost as soon as they announced the taper in November. And we've been moving to a space where the thresholds for both the taper and hiking rates next year is coming into view. And so I think that's been consistent with the front end repricing. You know, the longer end, of course, is hostage to a lot of secular factors that really haven't gone away and, if anything, have intensified in the course of the pandemic. And so the curve has flattened.
Ed, what's the give us some trades here. What's the hot trade post-Fed this morning?
The hot trade? Well, look, I'll say in the interest rate space, the front end of the curve, you think about the three-year point, the five-year point of the curve, offer a very attractive carry. And when you're looking at a curve that's relatively flat, what you're looking for is risk reward across different maturities. And at this stage, I would say the 3 to 5 year segment is very interesting. The risk to a position like that, you know, being long, being exposed to that portion of the curve, is that the Fed has to tighten very aggressively and tighten financial conditions in the course of the next year, right? So something they've been hesitant to do, something they signaled yesterday, was premature. That would be the risk, but for now, that carry is available in the front end.
And what about, we were talking earlier in the show too about the differential, the spectrum that we are now seeing between the big central banks, right? With the Bank of England today saying it's going to be raising rates, the Fed sort of in the middle, and then the ECB saying probably not happening in 2022 for us. So as a strategist and analyst, how do you sort of take advantage of that differential?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a really nice run in the dollar because one, the Fed pivot got priced in, so U.S. front-end rates rose. But I think equally importantly, the U.S. economy has managed to surprise to the upside in the course of the last several quarters relative to Europe. Europe and the U.K. Saw a bigger downside from the Delta wave and are seeing a bigger downside now from the early stages of this new variant. So that growth differential got baked into a stronger dollar. I think that trade is to some extent coming to an end. So particularly versus pound sterling, you see the pound sterling moving sharply higher today. That trade probably has some legs. But more broadly, taking a step back, dollar strength probably isn't on the cards to the extent that we saw, you know, over the past 3 to 6 months. We'll probably see a flatter to a weaker dollar in the first half of next year.
And Ed, I've had several strategists tell me to expect a rate shock next year. Do you expect something like that? And what would that even look like to you?
Yeah. Well, I would kind of highlight two tail risks, right, from here. We're priced for a relatively shallow cycle that ends at about 1.5% in terms of Fed funds by the end of 23 and then flatlines from there. Think about the two tail scenarios. One is the Fed has to tighten much faster and to a much higher terminal rate, so let's say to 2.5% over the course of the next 12 to 18 months. That's one form of rate shock. The other rate shock is growth slows, inflation slows organically, and the Fed doesn't actually execute what's in the price. So rates actually have to come down. And so I think a lot of how you position in risk assets next year will be a function of what probability do you put on these two tail events. And I think right now, the data isn't really consistent with the Fed having to tighten that aggressively. So I would put more probability on the fact that they underperform what's in the price or meet it. at this stage.
So, and is that overall your biggest risk, do you think, going into 2022?
The biggest risk in 22 is this continuing inflation story accelerating, right? The Fed expects some moderation in inflation in the first half of the year, and then inflation coming back down to target by 2023. You know, we don't want to use the word transitory, but in fact, that's what it is. And it envisions that happening without them having to tighten policy very aggressively. 2 to 3 hikes next year doesn't qualify as an aggressive tightening cycle. The risk is that they do have to move into that mode and shift gear into a much faster tightening cycle. That will be an environment in which rates are rising, particularly in the front end of the curve, and risk assets are selling off because the Fed is tightening financial conditions. So you have wider credit spreads and weakness in equity markets. That's a situation we last saw in sort of early 2018, if you think back, when there was sort of a parallel sell-off in risk and safe haven assets, and that generally tends to be quite painful for portfolios. So that would be my key risk for next year.
Fingers crossed against that happening. We'll see. Ed, good to see you. Ed Al-Husseini, Columbia Threadneedle Investments, Senior Interest Rate and Currency Analyst. Thanks for your time.